Now, we may be headed for further raucous scenes when TDs gather again on Wednesday, because the matter of how to deal with those regional independents who were not elevated to junior ministerial positions and how to allocate them speaking time was to be sorted out by the Dáil Reform Committee while the Dáil was in recess this past fortnight. But as things stand, the deadlock continues. Paul Murphy, you're on the Dáil Reform Committee. How would you describe the talks and where they wrapped up yesterday?
They were very long, and ultimately, unfortunately, they were unproductive because Michael Lowry seems determined to have his cake and eat it, to be in the government, to be on the record as being in the government, to have ministers in government, have negotiated the programme for government, and yet also get the benefits of being in opposition, namely leaders' questions, priority questions, private minister, members' time. And unfortunately, the government is determined so far to follow his tune all the way and to facilitate him. So we got no further from 10 hours of meetings yesterday and the day before.
Can I ask you a little bit about the structure of those meetings? So rather than sitting in one plenary session around a table, you split off into the opposition on one side, in one room, and the government, as I understand it, and Michael Lowry, although you would argue that is one and the same thing, in the other room, and the Cian Corlea is shuttling between the two rooms. Is that was the structure of the talks?
That was the structure of most of yesterday. The day before, we had a kind of plenary session with everyone there. I thought it was a good idea from Verona Murphy to take that initiative to try and find a way forward.
Not unusual in industrial relations to take the two parties into separate rooms.
But the fundamental issue for us is that the Michael Lowry group is a group that is in government. I mean, Michael Lowry stood on the plinth and said very clearly that he was inside government. He said, as part of that negotiation, we also said that we had to be working within the government, not from the outside. We're in this for 5 years. We're in it for five budgets. We have these ministers and so on. And the rest of them said the same. So these are backbench government TDs, and yet the government insists on treating them like opposition TDs. And that's the problem, is that we never got anywhere. They were willing to rename them, so they tried to call them unaligned, then they tried to call them hybrid, but give them all the rights of the opposition.
But you don't want to deny them, you say. You don't want to deny them speaking time.
Correct.
You just don't want that to be opposition speaking time, is it?
Correct. And we put forward
a
proposal.
And you don't want a special designated category of hybrid speaking time, do you?
We don't, because they're not hybrid. I mean, the way the whole Parliament structures and the way standing orders is
built. Four of them who are of the regional independent group who hammered out the programme for government. And then there's Maddie McGrann, Carol Nolan, who, we're not part of that.
So
as a group,
there's
it's
a Healy Ray, and then there's two. Yeah. So the four that in reality are backbench government TDs should be treated as backbench government TDs. And we put forward a proposal yesterday to change standing orders to facilitate that. So to make clear that if you're aligned with the government, you can't be an opposition technical group, but to create a new category of a government-aligned technical groups that get all the rights that would be the equivalent to, let's say, the rights of the Green Party in the last government. Okay. So they get to attend business committee meetings, Dáil Reform Committee, and get speaking time. They get to ask the Taoiseach questions. They get all of these things, but the things that are reserved for the opposition to hold the government to account, they don't get them, because it's a stroke, on the one hand, to facilitate Lowry, but secondly, it's designed to undermine the ability of the opposition to hold the government to account, and that can't be accepted.
Okay, we'll come to David Cullinan in a moment, but Emer Higgins, I want to ask you about this. Michael Lowry, at this stage now, has been involved in negotiating the programme for government. He said what he said about sticking with the government in good days and bad. Even in these talks, he's sitting in a room with the government for the purposes of this being hammered out. I mean, how do you view him? Do you view him as a government TD, or do you view him as an opposition TD?
I view him as an independent TD. He's not the same as me, my colleagues in Fine Gael, or my colleagues in Fianna Fáil, because we're all whipped by the government. We have to vote with the government. Him and a number of other independent TDs have formed this alliance. There's a number of people in what's now a technical group. They came together to constitute a technical group so as that they would have access to speaking rights. As you've said yourself, two members of that technical group have already voted against the government. What we want to do is make sure that everybody has the ability to speak and to use the Dáil.
Okay, so how is the government proposing that would be achieved?
Well, I suppose the government is proposing, and I do take on board, like the opposition were up in arms last week because the proposal, as was put and as the Cian Chorla had, was going to eat into opposition time. And I can understand that. And that's now been fixed. So now the proposal, my understanding of the proposal that's currently on the table, and there were four meetings, I think, over the last week on this, two of which were over 5-hour meetings. So there's a will here from government to find a compromise, to get to something that is politically acceptable to everybody. That's exactly what we want. Mm. I mean, up until last week, I was Minister with Responsibility for Industrial Relations and Workplace Relations Commission. So I understand negotiation, I understand arbitration, I understand compromise. We need people in the room for this to happen. Yeah. That's what we've been trying to do this last week.
But seeing as you draw that analogy, if the opposition or the trade unions and you're the employers or whatever sides they take, let's not maybe make that designation, but how do you find yourself representing Michael Lowry in these talks? How does one party of government find itself getting legal advice and paying for legal advice to clarify a situation on behalf of Michael Lowry if Michael Lowry is not a government TD?
The reason for that is because we want the Dáil to function. And last week, when the Dáil was recalled, it didn't function properly. It was obstructed. I mean, we've heard calls all this week from opposition, bring back the Dáil, recall the Dáil for the week that it was off this week. But the question is, will opposition let it sit next week? We need to get to a point where we have a fully functioning democracy. Like, government has been formed. We now need government to get on with the business of governing. We need the Dáil to be in existence for that. That's why we're having these discussions. That's why we're getting legal advice. Right. I mean, if Michael Lowry is not a part of the government,
you're expending a lot of energy mm-hmm. on behalf of Michael Lowry in a way that will look to the general public like he is a member of government.
We're expending a lot of energy, and to go back to that analogy, in the interest of industrial peace, because we want to get to a situation where our Dáil functions and functions properly. And there are other countries where they have what are called crossbench and unaligned parliamentarians, and that's happening in the UK and in Australia, and maybe we need to look at them for advice and see how they are dealing with that, because we're operating in a situation now where we have coalition governments, where we have coalition politics, and we need our Dáil to function properly for everyone.
All right, I want to bring David Cullen in on this. So, you know, Paul Murphy has outlined what's happened at the Dáil Reform Committee so far. Eimear Higgins has put forward what the government solution is. If there's new designated time that's not coming at the cost of opposition time, why quibble over it? Why insist that it goes into government time if it's new time that's being allocated?
Well, I think something that is very clear and very simple is being made very complex by government, and even the minister saying that we'll have to seek advice from people outside of this country to resolve what can be resolved in a couple of minutes by both Micheál Martin.
If there was compromise,
I didn't interrupt. It can be sorted in very quickly by both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris. You cannot ask any opposition to accept the fact that TDs who were openly part of the government negotiated deals to arrange the government being put in place, including Verona Murphy as Cian Chorla, junior ministers from that group in government, go on to the plinth, as has been said, and say, we'll support the government in good times and in bad. It's not some group that may give some support to government. They are, in poker terms, all in. And what we're being told
those members of the group who aren't.
They can seek a membership of other groups. There's other technical groups that can facilitate those members. We're talking here, in the first instance, about Michael Lowry. So to cut to the chase, make this point.
But it's on that very point. Is the insistence on having Michael Lowry designated a government TD, because, you know, if the solution that the government is proposing won't eat into opposition time, is this about having Michael Lowry explicitly designated a government TD so that all of the previous commentary and controversy around tribunals can be constantly brought up and the government can be reminded of it. Is this effectively a labelling tactic by opposition?
No, it isn't. It's just a matter of fact. Mm. And it's a matter of what's right in any democracy, in any parliament. So, you know, the government brought forward a proposition yesterday, which in my view brought us backwards, and it said that we now want to treat those TDs as unaligned. So I looked at the dictionary, a definition of unaligned. It says not allied with or giving support to a particular organisation or cause. Now, you cannot say that Michael Lowry is not allied with this government, not giving support to this government. He's made it very clear he is all in, as has others who are part of that group. So we cannot have a situation where we have Michael Lowry, who has, in my view, concocted a special arrangement, a grubby little deal with this government, supported by Micheál Martin and Simon Harris. And, you know, people are asking the question, what hold does Michael Lowry have over this government? Why has he been allowed to facilitate this? And this is within the gift of Micheál Martin and Simon Harris to resolve. They're sitting on the fence. They're saying this should be a matter for the Cian Chorla. Okay. All of the meetings that actually took place over the last number of weeks shouldn't have to take place. With a stroke of a pen, as they will do with the junior ministers and the extra allowances, they'll bring legislation in within a couple of minutes to deal with that. They can deal with this issue if they so wish, but they've done a grubby deal with Michael Lowry, and that's at the crux of this.
Okay, do you want to deal with the issue of a deal first before you deal with the other?
A lot of this has been dealt with. So firstly, there's no deal with the government on this in terms of speaking rights. Like, let me be clear on that. And I think Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have been very clear on that too.
Can I just ask you something? Sorry, and it's in the paper today. It's important to just clarify this. That government sources, I think, quoted to talk to Miriam Lord, said that the government was blindsided by Michael Lowry's insistence on this and the government and an expectation for the government to back him. Did it come as a surprise to you that the government became embroiled in this and having to go out to bat for Michael Lowry on this?
My understanding is this did not come up at any negotiations. So from that perspective, yes, it was a surprise, absolutely. And just to take the points that Deputy Cullinan has raised there, I mean, it had the original proposal, whether or not, and I mean, the legal advice is that was within the standing orders of the Dáil, but I appreciate there were huge issues with it because it ate into opposition speaking time. That has now been resolved because it meant that there would be private members' bills time for that group. That has now been resolved as far as I'm aware that was part of the proposal yesterday too. I mean, we need to find a solution that works for everybody here. But I think what we're putting forward is very reasonable in that the big issues that were really the big issues to the fore in the public discussion and the public narrative being put out last week by opposition members were around the impact this would have on opposition speaking time. That's now resolved.
But Cormac, it's not reasonable at all for Michael Lowry, of all people, to be treated as an opposition spokesperson and actually have a leader's question slot, where after negotiating a programme for government, after saying he'll support the government thick and thin, good times and bad, will actually stand up in the Dáil and be able to question the Taoiseach in the same way as Paul or myself
Paul Murphy, it won't be necessarily in the same way if there's additional speaking time allocated. Do you see that as any form of a compromise that could be worked with in order to overcome this? Or is your position, as was before, he must be designated explicitly as government and government only, and it must come from government time with no additional time? Is that it? Because to include him as a government TD and for him to be afforded time would mean additional government time.
Two points. Firstly, a second proposal came from the government yesterday, which I presume replaces the original proposal. And in this new proposal, there's no reference to any additional time. It simply calls Lowry's group a hybrid group and then gives them every single right that is accorded to opposition groups and has no reference to this not taking away from other opposition time. So the current proposal before us would actually directly take from opposition time. Secondly, this talk of, if you go with the other proposal, which referred to leaders' questions and priority questions, and it said additional questions will be provided so that it doesn't eat into our time. The ratio of time that is given in the Dáil to the government relative to the opposition would be shifted in those circumstances. We cannot go along with a lie. It is not true that Michael Lowry is an independent, unaligned TD. It's not true according to his own words. If there isn't a deal on speaking time, then the government's behaviour makes no sense. But also, are you seriously saying there is no deal with Lowry and the other TDs, for example, Danny Healy-Ray, they're not required to vote with the government? You're seriously saying, is there a requirement for Lowry to vote with the government?
What I'm saying is that this issue of speaking time did not come up in any programme.
So separate question, is there an agreement with Lowry that Lowry needs to vote with the government over the course of this term?
My understanding is that a number of people have signed up to the programme for government.
And he's one of them.
Absolutely. And in the same way as...
He is saying, he sent a letter yesterday saying that he's going to vote on a case-by-case basis, as did Healy Ray.
But now, hold on, can I just say something? This is key. That's why I want to clarify. This is key, right? So, voting with the government on budgets is absolutely an imperative thing to do. And that's part of the programme for government. The programme for government signs up to 5 budgets that will be supported, right? That doesn't mean that everything is going to be approved. That's where they're coming from when they say on a case-by-case basis.
He's saying there's no such agreement. It's not telling the truth.
I don't think that's a fair interpretation.
Okay, if this is analogous to any other negotiation type model. Ultimately, look, the government has a majority. It can vote through what it wants to vote through at the end of the day.
Correct.
If you believe that this has reached the end of the road and the opposition is not being reasonable about it, in your view, will it just be voted through anyway?
Well, I hope not. I hope we can come to a compromise. And the Dáil Reform Committee was constituted.
But is that what it looks like at the moment?
It's the only joint Oireachtas committee that's been constituted because we want to solve this. And we've had 4 meetings of that brand new committee. There's 19 TDs on it, all cross-party. 4 meetings of that, 5-hour meeting yesterday or 5.5-hour meeting yesterday, 5-hour the day before, because we want to solve this. Right. And the government remains absolutely open for negotiations on this next week.
Right. So you're not so you're not at the point yet where the government has reached a decision that this will be voted through?
No, not that I'm aware of, no. And I mean, from my own personal perspective, I hope we can work together
With respect, you can't compromise on what is a grubby deal and stroke politics. You're asking engage in a process which is about compromising on an issue which is clear, black and white. And I go back to what I said originally. What's happening here is the waters are being muddied by a government because they don't want to do what needs to be done to take on Michael Lowry, face him down and say, this is not acceptable, and we're going to make sure you're treated the same as any other government TD, as he should be.
And if this reaches the point where the government feels that the way forward is to just vote it through, what in your view is open to the opposition to do about that? Are we going to revisit scenes that we saw the other week?
Well, I think that's a matter, first of all, for the entire opposition. So I think what's been very helpful is that all of the parties in opposition, including the other independent groups, by the way, see this for what it is. It seems everybody outside of the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael bubble and the Michael Lowry group bubble can see this as a stroke. The minister can put a brave face on it. She can say there's no arrangements in place. But the reality is people can see in front of them exactly what this is. It's very clear in black and white. And people are being asked to see something that's black and being told by government is white.
Are the opposition continuing to work together on this?
Absolutely.
So there will, I mean, when the Dáil returns, there will be, I know the opposition individual parties rejected any suggestion that there'd been any level of coordination about the actions the week before last, but will it be more coordinated?
It to come to that, because that's the point. This can be resolved like this. I made the point earlier that this government will bring in legislation to extend allowances to junior ministers and additional junior ministers at the stroke of a pen. That's another stroke, by the way, but they will do it. They can't bring in legislation, or they can't amend standing orders, which they can do very quickly to deal with this issue. It's in their hands to do it, and for whatever reason, Michael Lowry has a hold over Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, can answer that question.
The way out of the impasse last week was a meeting of party leaders and group coordinators, which we hope happens again now, and which resulted in a statement from the Chief Whip to the House, which spoke about there being an ambiguity in standing orders, quote, which requires clarification in differentiating between members of the opposition and the government. At the moment, the proposal he has does the opposite of that. It tries to fudge that differentiation. And secondly, it said that we'd work to find an agreement, quote, as soon as possible and acceptable to government and opposition. I welcome the fact that Eamonn Higgins is saying, we still want to talk, we want to find an agreement, we're open to talk, we want to find an agreement. We will not accept a situation that the government uses its majority, including Lowry, at the Dáil Reform Committee or in the Dáil, to ram through something that fundamentally undermines the role of opposition and our capacity to hold the government to account. We cannot accept that. And that's why we hope that we don't get to that, and we hope that we get resolution over the weekend or on Tuesday.
Okay. A couple of texts in here. One from Sean. Column 9, day 9 without power, and the top issue here for TDs is how much time they get to listen to each other. Complete bubble issue. People in the West were absolutely livid with government for their lack of response to the storm, and opposition with their obsession on speaking rights rather than holding the government to the account of their lack of response. And another text coming in from John O'Sullivan in Shannon in County Cork says the opposition parties are acting as children. The West of Ireland is suffering greatly after the storm, and listening to the rubbish about this speaking time, would they grow up, according to John O'Sullivan? I mean, the David Cullinan, do you want to respond to any of the text messages
well,
there?
Well, I suppose before we come on to the programme, Cormac, we were told that the first issue we were going to deal with was in fact actually the storm and the aftermath of the storm, and also health issues. So I want to talk about all of those issues. There's a lot to say about the government's lack of preparedness and supports for people in the west of Ireland, in the Midwest and the Northwest, which hopefully we can get to. These are, of course, are important issues, and we are dealing with them. We are the party, and others in opposition as well, wanted the Dáil to sit this week for precisely those reasons, so that we could actually put questions to ministers in relation to what supports are there for people in the West, what's not there. For example, the minister brought forward a scheme only yesterday or the day before in relation to accommodation supports. 8 days afterwards, still no details, not upfront payment. So I completely agree with the people who are texting in that there are other issues, right, and I would argue more important issues.
And you were the one that asked us at the start of the programme to discuss this issue, and it is an issue that does need to be resolved. For sure. Eimear Higgins, look, I mean, so far we've had criticisms of a vague programme for government. We've had, you know, attention being drawn to standards in public office because of the reliance on Michael Lowry for votes. We've had transparency over issues raised over the transparency of the deal with the Rural Independent Group. We've had the controversy over gender in cabinet. We've had a controversy over Dáil speaking time, and then a controversy over the recess when there's something going on in the country. It's not a great start for the government, is it? And Dáil's, the issue of the immediate recess after the formation of the government has kind of blown up in the government's face with what happened in the storm, hasn't it?
Well, I suppose the recess, which I think was 3 or 4 sitting days, was really about allowing our new ministers, our new cabinet ministers, who were appointed on the first day the Dáil sat. Well, the second day, as it turned out, because the first day, I suppose, was a bit more theatrical than it was procedural. It was about allowing them this time and the space to meet with their general secretary generals, to meet with their assistant secretary generals, to get a handle on their brief. Because obviously there are huge challenges facing government, and we need to make sure that our ministers have all of the information available and all of the levers available to them to be able to deal with that. You've thrown a number of points at me there, so I'm happy to speak about them all. Gender was one thing you spoke about, and I suppose as a female minister, I suppose if I could just talk about from my party's perspective, Fine Gael has 25%, I think, almost 25% of our...
The numbers in cabinet. I suppose the net point is that, you know, the gender is just an issue, is just another issue that the government is starting off into. I mean, it doesn't look like the most organised or the most competent start for a government, does it?
Well, I don't think that's a fair statement. I mean, I think we've got some really, really excellent calibre of ministers who've been appointed in the last 2 weeks, many of whom are female. I know from my own party's perspective, we have 10 female TDs. 6 of those female TDs were elected for the very first time in the last 12 weeks or so. And the 4 who were elected previous to that, whether that's 5 years ago, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, are all ministers today. So there's huge opportunity within Fine Gael for females to progress. And I suppose that's a message to your listeners, that, you know, it is about putting your hand up, if you are a woman, putting your hand up and having a look at all the political parties out there, having a look, joining, and for people to vote for women too, because unless we have enough women in the Dáil, there won't be the opportunity for us to appoint enough women to cabinet.
Okay, I do want to ask you before we go to the break about a story in the Irish Independent today. They have it's teased on their front page about a Fine Gael politician who had to apologise to a female member of staff working for the party after an incident in a bar somewhere around the Leinster House area in 2018. Now, we don't know the exact nature of the incident, but inquiries were made by the party when it became known, and the politician in question was confronted and had to apologise to the woman. Were you aware of this issue? And without naming the people involved, of course, Do you know who the personalities involved are?
So I read that article this morning and obviously I rang Fine Gael to see could I get some information on it. The information I was given was that the lady in question received an apology and was absolutely happy to drop it at that point. I don't know the details of it. I don't know what happened. It's hearsay that I'm now reading about in the papers.
All right. Would you be comfortable though that, you know, if action is taken and somebody who's at the centre of it is asked, are you okay if we leave it there to a relatively junior person, is that the way to handle it, or should the party have decided what the appropriate sanction should have been and proceeded with it anyway?
Well, we have very strict rules within Fine Gael in terms of how complaints are dealt with. And I mean, my understanding is it went through that procedure and that process. But as I say, I don't know all the details. I'm only reading about it in this morning's paper.
OK. All right. We'll leave it there. We're going to come back after this, looking at the figures released by the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation today, which reveal that January was the worst month on record for trolley numbers at nearly 14,000.
Saturday with Conor Mulgan on RTÉ Radio 1.